Matthew chapter 18, I'm gonna start at verse 1 here a second. One of the things I want to share with you, the first time I experienced one of these vehicles where the very back, kind of like teardrop type windows, open automatically, those little side windows, you know, there's a little button in your deal and they open. You know, back in the day, you know, your old vans and your minivans and your SUVs, they would pop out. You had to go back there and kind of squeeze this little deal and the window's just going to pop out about 2 inches. And so so my spiritual father, the first year Ford made the Expeditions, he got a brand new Expedition, and I guess his kids are playing with the buttons, and so he calls us up, says, Hey guys, my back windows, I don't know how to close the back windows. Can y'all come up here and figure this out for me? And so we went up there, and I'm pretty mechanically minded. I've worked on cars, and I've worked on just about everything, even airplanes, you know. And so anyhow, so I'm looking at this back. I'm like, well, you definitely can't squeeze it. And so I'm like, I can't figure this out. And so we're looking around, and of course, nobody thought about getting the manual out. I mean, why would you need a Bible when you could just have everybody pray for you? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that just makes sense, doesn't it? I don't need my Bible. I just make a phone call, have somebody pray for me. Who needs to know why this is happening? Anyway, so we didn't do that. We went and tried to figure it out, and so we couldn't figure it out. So I'm mechanically minded. So what did I do? I broke out the tools, and I am going to disassemble that. Yeah, I'm gonna disassemble the little latch thingy. And so as I begun to get it, I got it out the window. So the window's flapping now because it's not connected to anything on the one side. It's got the hinge on there. So about the time we figured out, I got it undone and taken apart. One of the guys that just got the manual out, and he's a smart guy, thankfully, and realized, oh, here's the button right here. And so anyhow, so what I'm saying is we make easy things difficult because we don't find out what to do. I had an electrician tell me one time, he said, if an electrician gets electrocuted, it's because he got familiar. He got familiar with electricity instead of sticking to the basics. Anytime somebody accidentally gets shot with a firearm, they got familiar. They got familiar. They didn't get back to the basics, the fundamentals of, never point it in an unsafe direction, never put your finger on the trigger, always assume that it's loaded and make sure you know what's behind your target. Very, very simple stuff. But a lot of times, again, we get so used to it. We're just so familiar. And so I did that day with the mechanical thing. Well, I'm mechanically minded, and I fixed everything. I've done washers and dryers and 18-wheelers and motorhomes. I mean, you name it, I've just done it. I can figure it all out. Well, that day I failed because it was so darn elementary that I was thinking high-minded. Now, what I'm saying to us today is we have done that a lot, and we really do it all the time in the spiritual aspect of things. In other words, we get away from the elementary things. We get away from the fundamentals, and we look at, man, I've done this, I've read so-and-so's book, and I've been watching so-and-so on TV and learned. Well, that's great, but don't forget the elementary things, because it's the very simple elementary things that make the difference. You know, I heard a story. A minister was talking about how, you know, the golf tournament called the Masters was on, and so this minister was talking to his grandson. His grandson said, you know, Papa, he said, you know, the reason why they call it the Masters is because they have mastered the basics. That's how you become a master, is by mastering what? Mastering the basics, not the higher things, but mastering the basics. And so we never ever want to get away from certain basics. And if something is happening in our lives that we know are against the Word of God, then let's go back to the basics. I was, matter of fact, even right now I'm probably being talked about by a group of ministers because they were talking about how they don't believe that, and this is Pentecostal ministers, Spirit-filled guys, they don't believe that healing was in the atonement. And of course, I'm the guy who, I just believe the Word of God, and if it says it, it's real simple. And so then they were going back to, so when people get sick or this happens, it must be the will of God. And so you have to get into a lot of assumptions when you go overlook some of the little bitty basics. And so, of course, I'm just thinking, you know, this stuff is so basic, why? You know, they're thinking so far up there. They think they're so high because they've got seminary degrees and they got doctorates in front of their name that they're no longer thinking simple. They're thinking way, way. One guy, as a matter of fact, said something about Isaiah 53, 1 through 5. He made some comment about his interpretation of it, and I'm just like, wow, how on earth could you ever see what you just said? I mean, there's just, as a matter of fact, one guy sort of, you know, said something about, man, that is so far beyond anything this verse is even saying. And so what I'm saying is we can get so high-minded, so far out there in our having have learned that we are missing some of the most elementary things, and we miss some of the things in our lives because of the elementary things. You know, I have lots of experience in a lot of things. You know, my first sermon I ever preached was when I was 17 years old. All the positions I've held in ministry, I've done just about every single thing in ministry, even women's ministry. And so all that being said, I can go on to my accolades. Matter of fact, years ago on our ministry bio on our website, I listed a lot of my deals, and the Lord got onto me, just kind of impressed in my heart. That's, you know, this is not who you are. You are who I say you are at the moment. And so at the same time, I knew, okay, well, Lord, I'll get rid of that. And so all that being said, we've got to make sure that we're not so far out there or so far up there that we're missing some of the smaller things. So here in Matthew chapter 18, let's start at verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called, a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will on no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Let me first stop right here. Let me refresh your understanding. When Jesus is referring to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, he's not talking about the place heaven when you pass away. Whenever you leave the earth, we go to the place called heaven. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the operational system of heaven on earth. You know, his prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in the place heaven." So kingdom come is the operational system of heaven on the earth. So it's saying unless you be converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the operational system of God. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. So basically Jesus is saying, let me give you a definition of this word converted. Because we see the word converted and we're like, well, what does that mean, be converted? Are we going to have to, you know, this goes back to what the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Wait. Jesus, how can I be born again? Can I go up into my mother's womb and be born? I mean, that's just odd. That's freaky. That's a little weird, Lord. But that's not what he's saying. He's talking about spiritual things. Be born in spirit, not in flesh. And so what it says here in verse 3, be converted. The word converted means, it's in the Greek, means to twist. It means turn quite around or reverse. Turn quite around or reverse. So in other words, as we are growing intellectually, even though we're way out there on some things intellectually, and maybe spiritually we're way out there also, spiritually God wants us to make sure we stay humble. Well, listen, stay close to the foundation. Stay close to the foundation in our elementary understanding. In other words, you look at somebody that we recognize as an apostle of faith, Brother Kenneth Hagin. One of the things that he did for over 50 years, almost 60 years of ministry, was he basically taught one message. Now, there was many nuances of it, and he didn't just teach one. But for many years, when he'd go to different churches, he would teach on faith and on Mark 11:23, because again, that's something that wasn't taught very much, and it is one of the most elementary teachings in the Bible, but it's so far overlooked because we're so high up there looking at all these different theological different things, and God is trying to show us in Mark 11:23 how to get things done and how to operate on the most basic level. As a matter of fact, you know, Jesus, in looking at the parables, Jesus said this about the parables. He said, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any parables? And then he said, the sower sows the word. So in other words, you could be so astute and so knowledgeable on all the parables of Jesus. He taught a lot of parables. And you could be so knowledgeable and have your intellectual understanding on these things and really have some well-educated theories about what Jesus is saying. However, every one of the different parables are hinged on the sower sows the Word of God. In other words, you and I as sowers, because the Bible says the seed is the Word of God. And so we are to plant the seed of the Word. And so you can't hear that enough, in other words. You know, what's wild is over the past maybe couple of months, the Lord has been dealing with me about this, about getting back to some very basics. And so one of the first areas of basics the Lord had me get back to, because, you know, we're dealing with things. We're believing God for some things financially. We're believing God for some things physically. And man, I could check off the list of who all I've listened to over the years and whose books I've read and whose teachings I've learned from and whose shows I watch on TV and all that kind of stuff. And I can look at my little check mark box and say, wow, look, y'all look at, so I know something because I've watched these guys, I've read their books, I've listened to their tapes, CDs, and MP3s. So evidently, y'all can look at my accolades and my check boxes and realize I have learned some things. However, Hebrews chapter 2 says we let things slip. Now we'll get into that here in a minute there. So Jesus is showing us how to be great in the kingdom of heaven, and greatness or mastery starts with elementary things. And the thing is the last time we learned some of the elementary things was probably so long ago because we have springboarded from there, and now we're talking about higher things or deeper things. You know, there's a lot of times, and I've seen this here so much over the past, I guess, maybe a year or so, where some Christians, man, they're quoting the Word like they know they should, but it's coming from their soul and not their spirit. In other words, the check mark. Oh, yeah, I've read that book, so I know to do this. And I haven't done this in 20 years. I haven't been living for God in 20 years, and I haven't really done much for the Lord. But I remember this from back in the day, so I am going to start speaking the word of the situation. And of course, it's not in faith, because faith is not from your head. Faith is not coming from your memory. Faith is from your spirit. And so the thing they're speaking doesn't really happen, because again, they went from, let me remember what I learned in 12th grade. Listen, 12th grade is great, but what did you learn in preschool as a Christian? Well, you know, one of the first things is that Jesus lives in your heart. You know, one of the most teeth-grinding prayers to hear for me is, Lord, go with us. Please be with us. Yeah, have you ever heard that? Lord, be with us. Go with us as we go, and come back with us as we come back. And every time someone prays that prayer, I say, you probably may have prayed that prayer yourself. No, I probably have. Well, I know I have, but I've quit, you know, because I'm like, how many of y'all this morning, assuming you have your kidneys, okay, how many of y'all this morning, when you got up, you told your kidneys, oh, come with me today. Come with me today. Or your heart, come. You know, I need to bring my heart with me today. Or I need to bring my bladder. Yeah, my bladder. Come with me, bladder. You would never think that. You know why? Well, number one, you probably woke up your bladder screaming anyway. So anyway, but you wouldn't do that because your bladder is in you. And so wherever you go, the in you goes there. And so what happened to us that we know all this fabulous stuff about the crucifixion and what the water and the blood means and you know, this, that, and the next and all that. But then we have these prayers of, Lord, be with us today. Well, if you don't know that He's with you, I mean, that's like the thing I tell my kids, you know, that He lives on the inside of you. And so again, you know, what we learn, you know, the Bible says that all Scripture is for our learning. All Scripture. So even the Old Testament, some people are throwing out the Old Testament. Oh, we don't need to listen to that anymore. No, there's great stuff in there. If all Scripture is given to you for learning, then there's great stuff in there. It just confirms what the New Testament is saying. I mean, it's a shadow of things to come. But again, nowadays, we're going back to the higher learning, and we're forgetting some of the minor things about it. Listen to the same passage, the same situation in Mark chapter 9, verse 33. It says, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? And then he continues and tells them exactly the same thing. Now let's go to Mark chapter 10. Let's flip over there to Mark 10. You know, that verse that Valerie had mentioned in Jeremiah, man, that verse just absolutely nailed me, because that is kind of where I feel like I have been, is I've gotten my dependency off of the Word and gotten my dependency on paychecks, on medication, on this, on all the things I can do. You see, I am a good American. What I mean by that is this: I can get things done. You know, I'm not looking for someone to do things for me. I can get things done. That's one of the hardest things. You know, if you're raised in a hardworking household and that was modeled to you, it's very hard to break out of something in the flesh and get into something spiritual of believing for something when all your life you have worked. You know, we have been workers for all of our lives. I've growing up, you can go back to my former employers and I'd get there early, I'd leave late, I didn't just clock out when it was 4 o'clock, you know what I mean? I made sure everybody else was good, and if my boss needed something, I'd get to work 2 hours ahead of time to learn more stuff about what I was doing at work, and I wouldn't clock in until my actual time. My parents taught us, see, my parents were so grateful to be in this country that they had good work ethic, and so they were workers, so they taught us to be workers. So when I started learning that, wait a minute, there's things that you can't work for, you just have to believe to receive, that was so foreign to me. And so, but again, it's easy to take all of our hardworking stuff and now we're having to believe God when you could do stuff yourself. But you see, again, we need to stay with the basics of believing God for everything. I know we can do this and we can do that ourselves, and we got money in our savings accounts, so we just pay for it. Listen, when bad things happen financially, we've got to start believing God for returns instead of, you know, emptying your savings account just to fix something. I heard this story, and I told you I was learning some basics recently. The Lord dealt with me to go back to learning about the seed word. Matter of fact, I've been jumping on Charles Capps more than I ever have in a long, long time. But then also, one of the things that just really blessed my socks off and really spoke volumes, I've been listening to at least once a week, was a testimony from Oral Roberts. And Oral Roberts tells his testimony. You know, his dad was bivocational. He was a farmer and a preacher. And he said one time his dad had planted their 160 acres worth of corn. And he said that, after they had planted, it started to come up, and then a hailstorm happened. And it totally wiped out their entire crop, and everybody else is in that area. And so, of course, he goes out there, and with his boys were out there with him, and he said, "Boys," he said, "this is real bad." He said, "this is bad." He said, our entire crop, this was our income, this was what we were doing, this is what we were going to eat, this is how we were going to make our living. He said, "It's gone." He said, "It's gone, and I don't know what to do." And so he goes back to the house and tells his wife, he says, "Honey," he said, "the whole crop is wiped out." He said, "It's over. We're finished." I mean, that was it. That's what they knew. And his wife says, he said, "No." He said, she said, the wife said, I've got a little bit of money in a little jar. I've been saving up." And so she took it. And evidently, Oral Roberts' dad always had a $20 bill in his wallet, took that, and the boys had been working, Oral and his brothers had been working that summer, or working that spring, and they gathered it all, and they got $100, and they said, "Listen, we're going to go down to the feed store with the wagon, and we're just going to get $100 worth of corn, seed corn, and we're gonna plant." And of course, Oral Roberts' dad said, "Well, honey, that sounds great, but the $100 worth of seed isn't going to do anything. It's not even going to pay the loan. The money that I had to borrow to buy the seed." So he goes down to the feed store, they hitched up the team to the wagon and went down there and talked to the guy in the feed store. He says, "We need $100 worth of seed." And the guy that owned the feed store, he says, "Listen, I heard about this, the hailstorm. I heard that all your crops were wiped out." He said, "$100 ain't going to do you any good." He said, "I want you to pull around back." He says, "My guys will load you everything you need to make sure that you have enough to plant your 160 acres. He said, "I'm gonna make sure that you guys are taken care of." And so one of the first things that the Lord had dealt with him about was sowing seed in a famine. He said, "You know what?" He said, "The last thing we thought about was sowing a seed in a famine." But he said, that's what the Lord spoke to them. He said, "You've got to sow a seed in the middle of your famine, and that will cause things to turn around. And I thought, wait a minute, you know, in the middle of a famine, in the middle of a breakdown, in the middle of this, or middle of that, and all of a sudden you're having to sow seed. Well, you need that. Listen, we understand. Listen, we're going to save, you know, how many of y'all ever saved cans before? I remember when I was a kid, I used to save cans. Well, you know, you save cans and you can only get so much. I mean, unless you got like a garage full of that stuff. And you know, and I appreciate Dave Ramsey and all the different things, you know, tries to get you to save this and sell what you don't. That's great. That's all great. But it's not about selling something and then saving it. Because there's something bigger than a saving, and that is called a seed. And you know, if there's one thing that I believe that we forget, that we can get so far up there, and you know, I got a good income, and I'm believing God for a bigger income, and all that stuff. Well, don't forget the elementaries. I know you're used to paying for the roof on the house. You know, we just got a new roof this past week. You know, we're so used to, we had a thing that happened this week, but I'm so grateful I had the money in the account to pay for it. Well, I'm grateful you did too, but now guess what you don't have anymore? That money in that account. And so what I'm saying is, who would you rather pay? Would you rather pay the roofer, or would you rather sow seed and believe God for increase? You see, it's real simple, but again, the simplicity of it goes away when we get so used to living a certain way. We get so used to taking care of things ourselves. Well, listen, look at this right here, and I'll close with this. In Mark chapter 10, and let's see, starting at verse 17, now it was, he was going out down the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Let me stop right here. Now, just to clarify this passage, because I get this a lot. Did Jesus die, rose again, and pay the price for our sins just yet? No. Okay, so salvation wasn't ready just yet, okay? A lot of people, they just because this is in the New Testament, they say, well, see, still, this Jesus says all these things you're supposed to, this is how you get eternal life. No, this is before redemption happened. All right, so verse 20, and he answered and said unto him, "Teacher, all those things have I kept since I was a youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. So now, in other words, this guy knew all the details. He knew the word. He said, "I know everything. I know what to do. You think I'm right here, Jesus. You think I'm preschool, Jesus. But I am doctorate in, maybe not doctorate. Maybe he's bachelor's. I am bachelor's in the God stuff, because I have been doing all these things from my youth." So in other words, you don't really have to follow the Lord if you know the written regulations. You know what I mean? And so again, that's not what God was trying to do. God wants us to be trained, to be spirit-led and not rule-led. So here, Jesus is trying to train the guy's spirit. Okay, all right, well, you know all the deal. Now I, Word of God, am telling you to sell all you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Verse 23, then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God?" Now again, it's not talking about the place. It's talking about the system of God. All right, now Jesus said it this way, but he'll have to clear it up in a minute. Verse 24, and the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches?" You can say this, who trust in themselves. Who trust in themselves. What do we trust in? You see, my little kids don't trust in themselves. My children, if they want something or they need something, who do they go to? They go to daddy. They go to mama. They go to the parental authority. Well, my question is, who do you go to when you need something? Well, I just go to Visa. I go to MasterCard, American Express, Discover. You know, Discover has the zero, they always got the 0%, you know what I'm saying? I go to Discover, or you know what? Best Buy got 0% interest. I need a new TV. I'm going to just go through this right here. I know what I'm talking about. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Listen, who do we go to? We get in a hurry. We get in a hurry for things, so we have to think in a hurry. And when you think in a hurry, we usually think self. When we think, because again, Jesus is trying to get us to think, okay, you know, y'all remember the WWJD, the little rubber bands, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? All right, well, first of all, Jesus would do things a little slower than we would because we get rushed and we got to make choices right now. And when we make choices right now, we usually make self choices. When God wants us to take the moment, take time, listen to Him, sometimes we feel pressure from people. Listen, we can't let people put pressure on us. We are not here to please. Now, we're here to serve people, but we're not here to please people. Big difference, big difference. We're here to serve people, but we're not here to please, because you can't please everyone, isn't that right? But what I'm saying is very simply this. Who do you go to when you have a need? Do you go to WebMD? Do you go to the pharmacist? Yeah, do we go to our doctor? Listen, I was at the doctor this week. I love my doctors. I love my PAs and I appreciate them. They keep us going while we're learning to believe. Or they may just keep some people going while they are not learning to believe. Listen, we got answers. We got natural answers. We got options. But there's one option that needs to be the most elementary option, and that is very simply this. What are you going to do about the air condition? Believe God. What are you going to do about the flat tire? Believe God. Well, Pastor Michael, I can do that myself. I got the money. I could get me a spare tire. Well, that's great. That's all wonderful. But I mean, why aren't you using your faith for the elementary things? Well, I use my faith for the big things. You can't. If you haven't been exercising with little things, how are you gonna be strong enough for big things? Well, you know, I mean, I can take care of this much. It's kind of silly to believe God. If you're not faithful in the least, how can you be a ruler over the much? Well, that's not what it's talking about. Yes, yes, it is. Because the Bible says that He's given each of us the measure of faith. And what faith you exercise is the faith that grows. And I would rather exercise my faith with a little sniffle than exercise my faith with a broke leg or whatever the enemy brings our way. I would rather exercise my faith with a busted taillight than exercise my faith with the transmission that I'm dealing with right now. You see what I'm saying? Are you seeing what I'm saying? And so we had, the day the transmission went out, I'll just say this, the day the transmission went out, I was in a tiff. I'll just be real straight up with you. And my mind was racing. I'm trying to think, because I got answers. And I know natural things to get done. I called Keza and we're talking and we a friend of mine pulled me back home and finally it dawned on me, whoa, stop the horses right there. I don't have to have my answer right now. Why don't we just throw this in the back burner because we have two more vehicles and we'll believe God for an answer and see what the Lord wants us to do. Because I know what I want to do, and it wasn't what she wanted to do. And what she wanted to do was not what I wanted to do, so we got to find out who the boss? He the boss. Let's find out what he wants us. Isn't that right? What she wanted to do was smart because it didn't make sense to do what I wanted to do. But at the same time, I love my little pickup, you know what I'm saying? But it's, you know, you get it, it's part, your pickups are part of you. It really, really is. And so you got to understand. Anyway, so all that being said, so we had two more vehicles. We're good to go. And then the next one went down. So what are you going to do? We're going to believe God. We're going to be settling in. Thank God the Lord's letting us borrow Reuben's truck. And so praise God, man, I'll tell you what. And so again, what are you going to do? You're going to believe God. You're going to be patient. You're going to learn to listen. Anytime you're forced to have an answer, you might make a mistake. What are you going to do? How are you going to take care of the situation? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Listen, let's just always make sure we have the one answer, the elementary answer that PhDs don't have. Listen, I don't care how long you've been in this whole Christianity thing. Let's get back to the simplicity of go to your daddy. Go to your father. What do you have? What do you need? Go to the Word. Yeah, I got the answers. I got my pocketbooks filled. I got everything. I got a cabinet full of medicine. I got good insurance. I got good insurance. No, I actually don't, but anyway, what are you going to do? We're going to believe God. Listen. You can't get greater than that. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The one who uses their faith for everything. Let's stand. I fed Max a bunch of donuts and sausage roll this morning. He came back to me, I'm still hungry. So I gave him his mama's donuts. And so you take care of your kids, you know what I'm saying? We grown up, we can take care of ourselves. Then I got in trouble for it, but anyhow. Well, you know, so my kids know who to go to. Mackenzie wanted some seed to sow in Sunday school, in kids' church this morning. And so who did she go to? She went to Daddy. And so I told her, I wasn't going to have her just throw money away. I said, if you sow a dollar, you better believe for harvest. And that girl gets harvest. Listen, that girl's a money man. You know how many times she has found $20 here? I mean, just random. We're driving in a parking lot one day over at Bowles Home at a football game. And she says, stop the car. There's $20. There's a dollar bill on the ground. So if she says stop the car, I will stop the car. I will pull over on the high. Listen, 9 times out of 10, Keza, it is money. And so anyway, so I did. Sure enough, it was a $20, but no dollar, it was a $20 bill. And then there was some other time, you know, remember, she found somebody else's wallet. We took the wallet in to find the guy or give it to the customer service. And the guy winds up giving her $10. I'm like, well, praise the Lord. All right, the girl is a money. She'll even find your money for you. What you missing? How much you missing? She'll, if I just go over to talk to Mackenzie, she'll believe with you. But what am I saying? My daughter knows who to go to. Do I know who to go to? Do you know who to go to? Where have you? Let's make some corrections. Who have you been going to? What have you? Oh, just pop that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, I thank God. I thank God for the medications. I think, aren't you grateful? I mean, Keith had some pain pills. I was like, oh, we're going to grab one of her pain pills this week. I'm like, whoa, thank you, Jesus, for Keith's pain pills. And we had some friends over that day, and they were all teasing me. Oh, my gosh, the preacher's on pain meds. Look out. But what I'm saying is this, is the question is, and you don't know this. I don't know this. Did I go to the Word first thing? Did I go? What am I speaking? Am I speaking God's Word as I'm moaning and groaning? Am I speaking God's Word? Am I speaking God's word? I know sometimes, you know, people don't like it, but when you grab that bill, they want you to worry with them. But instead of worrying with them, grab that bill and declare what you believe. Father, in Jesus' name, I believe you have supplied all my needs according to riches and glory. You know, Keith and I, we actually tithed before we got here this morning. And what I mean by that is we grabbed that tithe check plus that seed, and we released it out of our ownership right then. We laid hands on that check and on the counter at the house, and we released the anointing. Father, I thank you. We return this back to you. This is not ours. This is yours. And you said you would cause increase, that you would cause us to have more than we have, the more than enough we need. And you said the blessing will be on us, and the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. So we tithed before we even got here. We got out of our known possession. Now, we had to put it in the plate and all that stuff, but either way, we knew what to do, because we believe what we're doing. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, today we recognize we've got to get back to the elementary things and the simplicity of going to our Father for everything. Lord, one of our conversations, you heard it this morning when we got here, was how our kids are always saying our name. Daddy, Daddy, Mama, 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 always wanting our attention. Well, Father, forgive us for not doing the same thing with you. Father, we repent for not being annoying like that to you. Father, I know you want us to be. We might not want our kids to be that annoying to us. But Father, you want us to constantly call your name. You want us to demand your attention all the time. And Father, we got busy. Father, we took care of all our needs according to our riches in our checkbooks, in our banks, in our credit card balances. Father, we repent today. We've trusted our ability. We've trusted our doctors who are only practicing. We've trusted WebMD. We've trusted the internet. We trusted the good earth and the nature and the natural products and this, that, and the next. And Lord, even the things that cross the blood-brain barrier. But Father, today we repent for our wisdom. We repent for doing everything that we know to do first. Because, Lord, had we gone to you first and did everything you told us to do, it wouldn't matter what we knew to do, because what you told us to do would get it all done. Father, today we make the choice to get back to the basics, to be converted, to turn around, to make tracks back to the elementary things of the good news of Jesus. Father, we recognize that you are such a simple God. Lord, you're simple to understand. You're simple to follow. You're simple to get. We just get you. And that's what you wanted. Lord, we recognize we ain't got to go to school to understand you. All we have to do is be open, be ready to listen. Father, we could have avoided so many things. We could have avoided so many things if we'd have just stayed with the elementary things instead of getting way out there on a ledge. But Father, today we make that choice and we make that correction to come back. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm just going to ask you, if that's you, if you recognize that we might have been going on the higher things and we've been riding the clouds and all that stuff, but we might have missed some of the elementary things, I'm just going to ask you very simply to pray this prayer after me. And I believe that if you mean this prayer, this is you, this is me humbling ourselves. You know, so people say, well, you know, God did that to humble you. No, God doesn't try to humble you, because that would not be an act of your will. God doesn't want robots. He doesn't want to kick you at the knees to make you bow. He wants you to bow of your own will and your own accord. So no, this problem happening and this issue happening and this bad thing happening was not God trying to humble nobody. It wasn't God trying to teach us a lesson. It was some of this stuff was just the harvest of my getting away from the elementary, because I just know so darn much. But today, I believe if we make this confession and pray this prayer, I believe that's going to bring us back to the simple things that God asked us to stay with. And so just pray this prayer after me. Father, thank you that you're simple. You're not so complex. You're easy to understand. You're easy to live with and easy to live for. You're a loving God. You're a merciful God. You're a gracious God. You're so gracious, you judge Jesus for my issues. So today, Lord, I recognize I might have gotten ahead, a little bit too big for my britches. But today, I make a U-turn. I convert myself. I humble myself back as a little child to your elementary truths, to the simplicity of believing you, of going to my daddy, you, my father, for everything. Lord, from this point, I'm going to annoy you with my presence. I'm going to demand your attention, and I'm going to give you my attention. I'm going to come to you with the itty-bitty little things so I can grow and I can believe you for the bigger things. Today, my life changes. My life simplifies. And I thank you for your help, for your Holy Spirit to help me simplify and to learn your word. Forgive me, Lord, for acting bigger than I am. I will keep myself as your child from this point on. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all received that this morning? I tell you, I felt a burden lift. For me, I felt a burden lift. I'd love to tell you how great I am in the things of God, but you know what? It's as simple as He's my daddy and He wants me to bug Him. Amen?